With Cain, I am Abel. Plantar fasciitis for anybody that's Thursday afternoon, you know, the foot just... And if you don't know what plantar fasciitis is, well, it's like a toothache in the foot. It just takes a long time to go away. But this too shall pass. I have conflicting emotions today. You know, yesterday we had a wonderful, wonderful program, the drug awareness program. Becky just orchestrated a fantastic lineup, and we prepared for 120 people. We had 38 came out, counting all the helpers and everything. Not what we had hoped for, but we had a lineup of speakers that they were just wonderful, went real quick, hot dogs with all the trimmings, beverages, homemade cookies. The people who came, who do this stuff normally, some of our speakers, they were impressed. They said, this is a well-run program. They said, anytime you want us to come back, you let us know. And they told us how much they appreciated what we were trying to do here. And the Congressman Tim Murphy spoke, did a great job. The one of the school superintendents, police chief, just a lot of different people. It was a really great program. But at the same time, it made me aware of the epidemic that's going on in our community. We sit here in our comfort and our safety, and outside these walls there are people who are at wit's end, addicts, tearing apart families, their own lives ruined. It's a mess, and it's really bad. And on top of that, Hurricane Irma coming up the coast. And many of us have family down there. My sister, you're younger than me. My brother, 17 years younger than me. They have their families. They live in St. Petersburg, Florida. And the hurricane was originally coming up the East Coast and up the middle of Florida. They live in St. Petersburg outside of Tampa on the West Coast. So they decided to stay there. Now the hurricane is coming up the West Coast. Bonnie just checked with them before she came into church, and the streets are already getting flooded. They have done all that they can do, except for coming up here. They should have come up here. If they get through this, I'll kill them. So we need to pray. Today is a worship service / intercessory service. And we're going to have somebody come down at the end of the service today, and we're going to anoint them and pray for the people who have been affected by all these hurricanes and those that lie in their path. We can do that much, at least that much. So, we are in the house of the Lord. Cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. This is the place to be in the presence of Almighty God. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we gather together here on sacred and holy ground to claim our birthright. We gather together here on sacred and holy ground to take authority in the name of Jesus over the bullies of this world. We gather together here on sacred and holy ground to be who you called us to be. So help us to let go of the flesh, to let go of our fears, our weaknesses. Help us, God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Come, Holy Spirit, into this place, and we pray that what we do here today is pleasing unto you and life-changing to all of us. Fill us all with love for one another. Fill us especially with love for you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Let's pass that peace to our neighbor.
Good morning, church. As you make your way back to your seats, I offer a warm welcome to all present this morning. And if we have any visitors out there, I'm not seeing any, but if you are a visitor and you would like information about our church, you have several ways. on our registration pad. You can complete your address with along with your name. We can have an usher see you right now with a welcome packet, or you can retrieve that yourself from the narthex, in the narthex from the Shepherd's Crook. I remind you, please, to sign the registration pad in the red folders located at the end of the pew. Pass it to others and then bring it back to the center aisle. Also in those red folders, there's 3x5 index cards. You can use those cards for prayer requests. The prayer request, please put that in the clear holder at the end of the pew, and the ushers will bring it forward to the pastor. Our memory verse for September is printed at the top front page, middle of the front page of your bulletin. Please repeat that twice through with me. Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is with me, bless his holy name. We have quite a number of announcements this morning, and we will start with, first of all, thank you to all those involved. Today was Sunday school back to school kickoff. I'm sure when you walked into the sanctuary, if you did not enjoy the pancake breakfast, you can certainly still smell the deliciousness. The Sunday school kickoff followed by a pancake breakfast, and a great big thank you to all those involved. A reminder for some activities happening this week. The men's work team, they are back on the schedule. They meet on Tuesday and every first Tuesday, I believe, of every month. Well, this would be the second Tuesday. So, Mr. Berta, where's he at? Anyway, the men meet this month, Tuesday. So they meet at 9 o'clock for coffee and conversation, and then they start their work and repairs around the church. Wednesday, September 13th, we have a reminder from Pastor Stephen that the Teen Center from 5 to 8 p.m. Is going to also be kicked off. That is going to be meeting here every Wednesday in our church. And in today's clipboard, there in the first page, Pastor Stephen needs help, and that is he needs adult help. There will be groups divided for those that are attendants, so he is going to need some adult leadership to help him with that. So even if you can only help on one time a month, any help that you can give will be greatly appreciated. And also, while I'm holding up this clipboard, there are several pages, and it's a reminder of the service that you can offer here as a steward of this church, as a member of this church, ways that you can help, whether it's the sound team, you can join the choir, you can help with some artistic design when we're decorating the sanctuary. There's a dance team, there's the drama team. There's so many things that, you know, doesn't take a daily commitment or even a weekly commitment. A lot of these are wonderful, wonderful programs that your assistance is greatly needed. And so please take that into prayerful consideration. I will be passing that out. And Diana's reminding me that in addition, there's also a poster in the narthex for other ways in which to serve. But these here on the clipboard, I think, are probably some immediate needs that we have. Also, next Sunday, a couple reminders. Pastor Bruce is starting a new member class. So if you are interested in joining the church, please see the pastor today or call our church office. Pastor, do you want to say a few words?
Yes. The membership class is going to be class about United Methodism, and you were invited to come out and participate in that class. Even if you're already a member, maybe you would just want to refresh your course on Methodism, structure of the church. It's approximately 6 weeks long. First week, next Sunday, will be a Bible study, and then we'll get into Methodism 101, it's called, and that's what we'll be doing. But for all of you who are members, who want to be members, please come on out and partake of that class during the Sunday school hour starting next week. If you have to miss a day or two here and there, it's okay. We can make that up. And if you can't make it for next week, just be sure to come the week after. So that's about the membership classes. I'd like to say about also next week, we have our covered dish dinner after church. And that'll be downstairs following the second service. We'll have a covered dish dinner to share with each other. And then we will have a guest speaker from the United Methodist Foundation, from the Conference Center, who will share with us about estate planning briefly. Following him, then we will have the Reverend Jeff Vanderhoff, a Christian magician. And Jeff is a very funny fellow. He's very good at what he does. He's been doing it for many, many years. So you won't want to miss that, especially with the kids. It'll be fun. So come on out for the covered dish dinner next Sunday. And stick around and listen to what the fellow has to say from the United Methodist Foundation. And then enjoy the Reverend Jeff Vanderhoff's magic.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce. Also, a reminder from Diane, if you do check in your bulletin, there's a little blurb about Music Ministry Sunday, and that's going to be on October 8th. And that might seem like a far, several weeks away, but there's a request from us, we the congregation. It's going to be down memory lane, and Diane would like you to give us ideas, your favorite Sunday school song. There's a little line that says song title. It's under music ministry in the worship. So think about it while you're sitting in worship today. Bring a note card next week. But let's give Diane and the choir opportunity to get together, put together a program with our favorite songs. And now just a final reminder to please check your bulletin for other announcements and activities in the life of our church. And I ask that you now turn your hearts and minds to our worship. Please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting a response to my prompt from Psalm 42. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so longs my soul for you, O God. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Please remain standing and turn in your red hymnal, number 77, How Great Thou Art.
you, Peggy. You really wore that outfit to church today? Peggy, I just can't believe you, Peggy. You're just not very bright. You're really silly, you know that? You know what I'm doing here? I'm being a bully. Huh. Who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches and bunches. Is it okay to be a bully? It is not okay to be a bully. It does make people feel bad. Give me a hug. Bullies pick on people who they think are weaker than them, who are different than them. Bullies pick on a lot of people, and we have bullies all over the place. We're not allowed to bully. We shouldn't bully. You know why we shouldn't bully? Because the Bible says not to be a bully. Jesus said to love one another, to turn the other cheek. Jesus said that we should bear up with the failings of the weak, that people who are weaker than us, we should help them. The Bible makes that real clear. We're to take care of one another and take care of the underdog. That's what brings glory to God. That's what puts a smile on God's face, is when we love each other. Boy, people are so wrong when they look down their noses at other people and pick on them because they're different color or they're weaker or poorer than them. It's not right. And there's all kinds of bullies in the world, just all kinds. So, we are to love one another. All right, let's huddle up. Dear Heavenly Father, fill us with so much love that we would never think about being a bully. And help us to show the love of Christ to those who are bullies so that they'll change their minds. Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.
In spirit and truth indeed. Thank you, Diane and choir. The word of God this morning is from James, the letter of James in the New Testament. James was a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the letter he wrote to the 12 tribes in the dispersion. Hear these words from James. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Here ends James's words to his disciples. I now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Well, Lord, we thank you once again. We thank you, Lord, not just with word, but with deed as well. We thank you for this opportunity to show to you that you are in control of all that we have and all that we are. And Lord, what we put in the plate is just the tip of the iceberg, for we give it all to you. We surrender to you our lives as living sacrifices. And we ask, God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, once again, I can't say enough about the program. Yesterday was wonderful. That was a real joy. Thank you to everybody that helped, that made that possible. Sunday school opening was a lot of fun. I had a brief lesson for the kids, and then Lisa made, she did face painting, and I did balloon animals, and they had snacks for the kids, and that was fun too. So that was a joy. What other joys do we have? Okay. How about joys, though? Pardon? You're getting a new wheelchair, and of course, my favorite here, indoor plumbing. The heat came on this morning automatically, without having to go out and chop wood. And oh, your dad came home safely. Yes. Debbie's birthday today. Happy birthday. Yeah, give her a round of applause there.
I'm glad to see Joe here today.
Yep, Joe. Hey, Joe was one of our speakers yesterday, and we thank him for his contribution. Flowers on the altar for Bernetta's birthday. She was shocked this morning, just shocked. Other joys. Pancake breakfast was a joy. Anybody else have a joy?
Family and friends.
Family and friends. And I appreciate the pieces that Diane plays. You play some complicated stuff sometimes, and I really appreciate that. Some very classical. We're really blessed. So. Sunshine, beautiful weather. For the Sabbath? Yeah. Yep, a chance to be in church. That's right. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens and pencils. Our homework. This is our homework till God releases you from that. We want to remember our country and our country's leaders, all levels of the government. We want to remember our church. We are so much more than just a bunch of people. We're not a club, but we are an instrument of God. So pray for our church that we would be used by God. Pray for the Don Hansel family, viewing again is tomorrow from 2 to 4, 6 to 8 at Shirley Funeral Home, where the service will be Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Pray for atheists, for those who are lost. Pray for hurricane victims and those who are potential victims. Pray for those who suffered from the earthquake in Mexico. Pray for our first responders, for the people who help out in all these situations, the missionaries and police and medical personnel and administrators. Pray for Pastor Stephen in our youth group, for addicts and their families and friends. Let's just come against this epidemic in the name of Jesus. Pray for those who are battling cancer. Everybody. Pray for Tammy and David, Lois and Doris, Virginia. Pray for me so I get over this plantar fasciitis. It's not even a nice name. Get over this quickly. And I'd ask that you continue to pray for Bonnie as well. So, other prayer requests.
Carrie,
pray for Carrie and who? Sue and Jennifer.
Wendy and Bill.
And Joe. Okay, so your friend's grandma lives in Texas. Okay, so we will include her in all our prayers for those people who have been hurt by the hurricane and who may be hurt by the hurricane. Yep. That's good to think of them.
Keep my friend Tiffany and her family in your prayers. Her mom is in hospice care with Alzheimer's, and they're doing her last in a few weeks.
Okay, Tiffany and family. Tiffany's mom is terminal in hospice a few weeks. Christopher and Kathy, my siblings, and the rest of you, and a lot of you others have family down there. You know, and at least my sister and my brother are healthy and relatively wise, though I'm beginning to doubt that now. But there are a lot of people down there who can't move. They don't have transportation. They don't have money. They're invalids. They're in nursing homes. A lot of people who don't have any place to go. We really need to pray for all of them.
That God will bless all the goals that we've set for our church this year and will help us to attain them.
Okay, let's pray that God truly blesses our church and all the ministry that we have set. Pray that we've been guided by the Holy Spirit for all that. Unspoken request. Just raise your hand. God sees the hand and knows the details. And for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for... Pray, Lord, that we would always give you joy and thanksgiving, that we would be a blessing to you because you have been such a blessing to us. Help us, Lord, to come before you with thankful hearts, to praise you always and in front of everyone, for indeed we are a blessed people. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence Misha. We pray that she is safe with her mother. We praise you, Lord, for our grandchildren, because today is Grandparents' Day. Lord, we lift up into the light and love of your presence the Don Hansel family. We lift up to you Tammy and Carrie and Chris and Kathy and their families, and Matt and Sue and Jennifer and Wendy and Bill and Joe, Tiffany and her family, her mother. Fill them with the revelation truth of Jesus Christ. We lift up to you our country and our country's leaders, our church, David and Lois and Doris, Virginia, myself and Bonnie. Victims, Lord, past and present and future of the hurricanes and earthquakes. We lift up to you Pastor Stephen and the youth ministry. We pray for addicts, Lord, and all that that means, all the lives they touch. We pray for our first responders, all those who are helping with these disasters. We pray, Lord, for the lost. Atheists, Lord. Unbelievers. We pray, God, that you would give us boldness of your Holy Spirit to witness to those who are around us. To be bold in our faith, to claim the blessings, to use those blessings in order to be a blessing to others. Have your way with us, God. Mold us and shape us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. And we would be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel according to Matthew. Please stand if you are able. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Let us hear with our ears and our hearts this word of the Lord. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he bore our diseases. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. True story. When I was in junior high school, 7th and 8th grade, Glassport Junior High School, South Allegheny School District. It was getting on towards the end of the year, and we had an assembly. Both 7th and 8th grade came together in the auditorium, listened to something the administration was telling us, I think, about the end of the year business. And as we were taking our seats, a young girl that I didn't know very well sat down in front of me, and she fluffed her skirt out as she sat down, and the skirt got caught up in the arm of the chair. I didn't know what to do. I didn't say anything at first. The assembly was over, and they said we could go. And when she stood up, for some reason, somehow, her skirt stayed stuck up in the air. And so, being a nice guy, I wanted to save her some embarrassment, and I told her that her skirt was stuck up in the air, and you could see her unmentionables. She flipped right out on me. She was so embarrassed and mad at me, and I couldn't understand it. She walked away just mad as a wet hen. Well, we had lunch, and we went outside, as we always did, and all of us students, we hung around right outside the school. I went out there, and all of a sudden, I get pinned up against the wall by this huge fella named John Leshnock. John was a bad dude. He was rough, strong as an ox, and mean. He was the schoolyard bully, no doubt. And John said, "That was my cousin you embarrassed." And I tried to explain it to him. I was just trying to be nice. And he says, "That was my cousin. Now I got to hurt you." And just when he was about to hit me, somebody stepped in between us. Somebody who was smaller than me or John, but somebody who had also failed a couple of grades and he was older than us, somebody who was a juvenile delinquent, somebody everybody was scared to death of, and that was Joey Jobes. And he stepped in between us and he looked at John and he said, "You leave Bruce alone." John backed up and said, "Yes, sir," and walked away. Joey and I hung out together at school for the rest of the year. He liked me. I liked Joey, even though him and my dad had all kind of trouble between them, because my dad was a police chief at Port View, and Joey was come from a broken home, was just a troublemaker. But Joey liked me. And when we got towards the end of the year, Joey told me, he said, "I don't want you to hang around with me anymore. I'm not good for you. I'm nothing but trouble. Stay away from me." That was the end of that for me and Joey. But while Joey was around, I tell you, I felt safe. I felt safe. I knew he would protect me from the bullies. There was another fellow in my life who I felt safe around. Actually, my parents, both of them. It was like I could do no wrong. I was the golden child, just ask my siblings. They loved me dearly, and even when I messed up, I always felt safe. You know, not only was Dad a policeman, he was a big fellow like me, and made me feel safe. And there were people in the church, some people in the church, a few people in the church around whom I feel safe. Safe. In other words, I can be who I want to be. You know me, I like to goof around, I like to have fun, I love to make people smile. I can be real off the wall sometimes. I have some weird ideas about things, conspiracy theorist. But no matter where I go or what I'm doing, if we're having a cookout, if I've dropped in to visit you, if I'm at the hospital, church picnic, whatever, I'm always on. I'm always the pastor. I've got to be careful. Watch what I say. Watch what I do. But with some people, I can feel safe. Even if I were to stumble and say the stupid thing, you know, the wrong thing, be okay. They say, you're just human. Don't worry about it. They just love me the way I am. And you know who I'm talking about. We all know people like that. I've got people in my life that I feel safe around. It's good to feel safe. That's our word for the day. Safe. S-A-F-E. A safe is something you put your valuables in and you shut it up and lock it. Nobody can get at your valuables. Somebody who makes you feel safe is somebody who comes between you and the bullies, and they prevent the bullies from getting to you. And this world is full of bullies, isn't it? We all know them too. People who pick on other people, people who look down their nose, who make fun of, who belittle, who mistreat others, who are racist, who are selfish and greedy and mean and nasty, who gossip and they pick on you with their tongue, they pick on you with their fists, make fun of you, bullies. And then there's other bullies in the world. There's the bully of life, the sin and sickness, disease, natural disasters, things that would hurt us. All kinds of bullies in life. But there's one who keeps us safe from all of those too. Somebody who protects us, who loves us, who has given us spiritual principles to live by so that we can be safe. His name is the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one who gave his life for us, who shed his blood for us. Jesus said time and time again to his disciples, be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Come on. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I'm here to protect you. I will take care of you, Jesus says. And he gets between us and the bullies of the world. And why does he do that? Well, he loves us, sure. But he wants us to be the best that we can be for him. And if we're always afraid, if we're always worrying, well, we can't be the best that we can be for God. And God wants us to be the best. God wants to bless us. God wants us to receive what he has for us. So we've got to quit being afraid. And that brings me to what I'm going to give you right now. Scriptures. It's from a lesson put together by Donald Bartow. B-A-R-T-O-W. Donald Bartow. Adventures in Healing. How to Appropriate God's Blessings. I'm going to share these scriptures with you. I'm going to give you the title of each section. Share it with you quickly. It's So you might want to write this down. It's good stuff. And I'll have this put into a bulletin later, too. So buckle up, because here we go. How to receive God's blessing. First, seek guidance. Number one, seek guidance. Seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. Seek guidance. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life to guide you as you begin to prepare yourself to receive what God has for you. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will guide us if we ask. So seek guidance, number one. Number two, give thanks. Give thanks to God for what he has already done for you and your loved ones. Give thanks to God. Thank God for what the one in need has already meant to you. Thank God that he was there with you through good times and bad. And count your many blessings. So give thanks is number two. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number three, forgive. Forgive. You want God's blessings, you have to forgive. Because if you don't forgive, you've cut yourself off from God's blessings. Oh, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But God has special blessings in store for his children. But if you refuse to forgive those who have hurt you, then you've just cut yourself off from God. And we pray it every Sunday, right? Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it says there in Matthew 6 that if you don't forgive others, then God, your Father, will not forgive you. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. So do everything you can to be at peace with everybody else. Number four, determine what the need is. Determine what the need is. And I'll tell you, I'm guilty of this. You know, I pray these popcorn prayers, I call them. I pray in generalities. And that's okay to pray in generalities. You know, enough of us add our prayers together, we can pray for the victims of the hurricane. And I believe that that has some effect. But when we begin to believe, when we begin to pray for people who are in nursing homes, when we begin to pray for people who need electricity because of some health situation, when we begin to pray for the police who have been left behind to keep law and order, when we get specific about our needs, that the doctor said I have this disease and I'm praying about this disease, instead of just praying for good health, I'm praying for a healing for this particular disease. Making our needs known is more powerful and more effective. So determine what your need is. Matthew 18:19 says that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of his Father, of our Father who is in heaven. Number five, relinquish. That's not a word we hear a lot, right? Relinquish. R-E-L-I-N-Q-U-I-S-H. Relinquish. Relinquish your life into God's hands. You hear me pray that all the time for the offering. That it's just the tip of the iceberg, that it represents everything that we have and we are. But I'm serious about that. God is serious about that. We are to give our lives into God's hands. Jesus said we have to love him more than we love anything else in this whole world. The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto us. So we have to relinquish, cast all our cares upon him and trust in him because he cares for us if we want God's blessings. Luke chapter 5 verse 37 says, and no man puts new wine into old bottles, or the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles will perish. the old man, the old way we've done things and lived our lives, we cannot receive the Holy Spirit. We've got to repent of those sins. We've got to let go of those old lives and trust in God. We've got to give it all to God so that we can become new creatures in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Number six is be open to God. Be open to God. Be willing. God, I am open to you. I am willing to be led by your Spirit. Invite Jesus to come into your heart to live in your life while you wait for God's best. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Number seven is picture the best. These are so important. Picture the best. Make a picture in your mind of what it is that God has for you, what it is that you're praying for. See, that's called faith. We dwell so much on the negative. We dwell so much on the dark clouds in our lives. We dwell so much on the pain and the suffering. That's where our faith is at. We need to dwell on the positive. We need to remember whose we are. That when God first created us, we lived in a garden where there was no pain or suffering, no disease. So picture the best that God has for you. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as a person thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, said he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." Picture it. Positive attitude. Number eight, expect the best. Expect it. It really bothers me about the people in our society who have a sense of entitlement. And they think that they are owed everything. Without having to earn it or work for it or even ask for it, they think we should just give it to them because they're entitled. They live in this country. I just think that's wrong. Our kids have a sense of entitlement. They need to learn to earn what they want, to work for it. That way they will appreciate it. As children of Almighty God, we're entitled, but in a good way. We can expect the best because our Father, our Abba, our God, our Creator, is the Lord God Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness. And He loves us. We can expect the best. You deserve it. You can expect it because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because you've asked Him into your heart. You can expect the best in life. Number nine. Rest in God. Learn to abide in God, to relax, to be still and know that He is Lord. When the drama mounts in your life and there is turmoil and the noise and the cries are so loud and you are so distracted, take a deep breath and rest in God. Be still and know that He is God, that He's in charge, that this world is not our home. Number 10. Turn to God. Turn to God. We all mess up. We all fall off the wagon. We all go our separate ways sometimes. We walk away from God. Sin is what separates us from God. Turn to God. Repent. Come back to God. If you've fallen off the wagon, it's okay. Get back on. Doesn't matter how many times it happens. Turn to God. Be the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you." So repent, turn to God. And then last, number 11, trust. Trust that God has been leading you throughout the years. Trust that Romans 8:28 has been true all your life. that we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. God has been orchestrating your life, has a plan and a purpose for us. Trust that it is God who is at work in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And when we trust that God has been active in our lives, when we trust that God is active in our life, when we trust that God will be active in our life, we experience his presence. And just as God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day when he created them, that's what God wants to do with us now. He wants to have this fellowship with us. He loves us. He wants to hang with us. He wants us to trust him because he loves us. Spiritual principles to appropriate God's blessings for us, to receive them, to get out of all the mucky muck of the world and to be in the place where we can enjoy God's blessings. Because God wants to bless us. He surely does. After we've walked with the Lord, after we've lived by the Spirit long enough, you won't have to think about these things. It'll just be automatic, the way it's supposed to be. It's a journey. A journey of health and wholeness. It's a journey in which God wants to stand between you and the bullies of your life. And he wants to say to those bullies, leave that person alone. Leave him or her alone. They belong to me. So be safe. Turn to the one who will keep you safe. Turn to Jesus. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing. God will take care of you. Think about these words. If you believe God will take care of you, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, a lot of people need to hear that. We need to spread that word to the people around us. We need to pray for people who are in harm's way. There's power. Power in our lives as Christians, as children of God. So, dear Heavenly Father, help us to stand in the gap for others who are being harassed by bullies. Dear Heavenly Father, keep us safe from the bullies in our lives. And dear Heavenly Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. For we choose to trust in you with everything that we are and everything that we have. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, amen. Hello. Hey, I'm going to have somebody stand in so we can pray for the victims of the hurricanes. So I just need a volunteer to come down front, and if anybody wants to join us, you are welcome to do that. And for those of you that have schedules to keep, go in peace. I guess you are. Yeah, it's just sore. Again, there are just so many people being affected by this storm. People who are losing work. People who are gouging other people with prices on things, airlines, entertainment, not only people panicking and running in fear, but the aftermath. The aftermath we all know from Houston is just horrible, from New Orleans, just horrible. There's a lot to pray for and a lot to pray about. And I'm going to anoint Bonnie for all of those victims, for all of those people who are suffering and who are potential victims. Don't let the prayer end here. Continue to pray as you go about your business throughout this week and in the weeks to come. Dear Heavenly Father, for your honor and glory and praise, I anoint Bonnie in the name of the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Lord, we anoint her in the name of Jesus for all of these people that we have lifted up before you. Cuba, Bahamas, people who have already been pounded and hurt, many lives have been lost. The Keys and Florida. Houston, Texas, up the coast. Lord, a lot of lives, a lot of people hurt. The homeless, animals, farm animals, pets, people who are living in shelters, nursing homes, hospitals, people who need medication and electric at home to be treated. God, for the invalid, for the lonely, for those who don't have family to help them, God, we pray that you would do a mighty work in their lives, for we're asking it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're joining our faith one unto the other, and we're lifting them up, and we pray that you form a hedge of protection around about them, and that you do a mighty work, perform a mighty miracle here, God. weaken the eye of that storm. Peace, be still. Come, Holy Spirit, come and bless and anoint all those who would help those folks. Bless and anoint them, God. And we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Jesus the Christ, the living Son of the living God, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the rider on the white horse. Jesus, at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved, only that of Jesus. And all who call upon his name shall be saved. It is written. So come, Holy Spirit. Come. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Thank you.